Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Father Joseph Mary. Today we'll be talking about the Catholic Church in Africa, the history, growth, and challenges of the Church there. Father Maurice Agbo Abai is a professor of philosophy and theology at St. John's Seminary in Boston and has taught on Christianity in Africa at Boston College. Father Valentine Ihanacho is a member of the Missionary Society of St. Paul and a research fellow at the University of Free State in South Africa, having as his area of research Christianity in Africa. Father Wilfred Emma has obtained his graduate degree right here at UAB in Birmingham and has published a book entitled New Media and the Christian Family, Experiences from the USA and Africa. He is currently chaplain of the Newman Center at Temple University in Philadelphia. Father Wilfred, welcome to this second program we're having on the Church in Africa. Tell us a little bit about your background and eventually coming here to Birmingham to study.
Thank you, Father Joseph, and thank you for having me on this program, The Catholic Sphere. I was ordained about 20 years ago, and I was raised in a family of five brothers and three sisters, and I grew up with my cousins. Life in Africa, when I think of my childhood, it was all about family, friends, and community. I remember when I felt the call, it was a friend of mine who invited me to church on a Sunday. I mean, we didn't go to church regularly. We used to walk to church. So people would go to church at their own time, you know, depending on how they can walk. So when this friend invited me to church on that fateful day, I remember after that Mass, I had a tremendous encounter with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. From that day, I made up my mind never to miss church. And you will not believe it. The friend who invited me to church on that day never came back to church.
Oh.
So that when I reflect on all of that right now, I see the hands of God. I see the importance of friendship. I see the importance of family. And so from there, I enrolled in the doctrine classes. I actually dropped out of doctrine when I was like 7 years old. So I started all over. Oh. And I was in a public school. So being in a public school, of course, it was challenging. But since I had made up my mind to be close to the church, on the day of my baptism, I was 16, 17 years old. That's when I said yes to my call. But before then, I recall that while I was walking to church for my doctrine classes, I always had this voice in me, God telling me, abandon your previous plan to become a medical doctor and serve me completely. So this went on for quite a while. I was a science student. There was a battle within me. But on that day of my baptism, and I was baptized by an Irish missionary, Father Stockman. So I answered the call on that day. And then from there, I told my dad, like 1 year after I completed my program in the public school, so that I had to go to the junior seminary. My dad was pleasantly surprised. That is when my dad told me himself was in the seminary. He dropped out of the seminary. Yes, and he was actually sponsored by another missionary priest, Father Francis Woodman, who was parish priest in my native village in Bazeng. So when I went to the seminary, the junior seminary, from there I went to the major seminary, to cut a long story short, I went through the seminary thanks to the advice that my dad gave me. Since he had dropped out of the seminary, he shared with me like some 9 points. He said, Wilfred, if you want to succeed in the seminary, these are the things you have to know and do. You have to pray the rosary. You have to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You have to obey your teacher. There were like 9 points. And after 9 years, I was ordained. I was the last priest ordained by Bishop Pius Auwa, who passed away 10 years ago. And so after my ordination, I served in a parish for a year. And the bishop told me he would like me to study communication. So he sent me to a secular university, and he assured me that after my studies there, I will move on to EWTN. That's how I came to EWTN in 2009 for my internship. And while at EWTN, I met a great family. So after my internship, I went back home, and I was invited again for a conference. I came for a conference. It was a nice time. And to cut a long story short, I found myself back in Birmingham in Our Lady of Sorrows Church. And the best part of my ministry as a priest was at Our Lady of Sorrows Church. Hmm. There is so much I'll have to share with you if time permits, but just to tell you about the love fed, the friendship, how they accepted my culture and I accepted their culture, and I had a beautiful time. I have a godson, Silas. This is Silas, my godson, in Birmingham. So mm-hmm. I am internally called. And then I have another spiritual son. This is Joseph Elson. Joseph's dad works at AWTN. I was his sponsor at confirmation. Mm-hmm. And then to tell you about my life, with I used to go to school with the children. This kindergarten. That's me with the kindergarten kids many years ago. And so I had the best time there. When I left Birmingham like 5 years ago, I was invited back 3 times to officiate at 3 different weddings. So these are my 3 friends. I did their weddings even after I left Birmingham. So Birmingham is the second home for me. When people ask me here in Pennsylvania, where do you come from? I tell them from Birmingham, Alabama. So sometimes they tell me, oh, but you don't have the accent. I told them I lost my southern accent because I've been away from home for a while.
We're going to come back to you and learn a little bit more about your time in Birmingham, but we're going to go to Father Maurice now and talk about your class, if you would, Christianity in Africa at Boston College. What do you try to cover during that class?
Yeah, it was an interesting experience when I was asked by Boston College to design this course, Christianity in Africa. And I thought about it and I'm like, okay, in Africa, we use stories to communicate truths. Mm. So I decided to use a text by Chinua Achebe, Things Fall Apart, which is an African classic, which captures the experience of the faith coming to Eastern Nigeria. I would imagine Father Valentine must be very, very conversant with this text. So I used the text by Achebe to engage different aspects of Christianity in Africa. For example, the encounter between Africa south of the Sahara and the Christian faith. So Achebe captures that. And the tensions, because the faith is never entirely severed from culture. So the tensions that marked this encounter between missionary Christianity mm-hmm. and traditional African religions. Then I will look at other aspects such as the emergence of African Christian theology, the notable figures that have marked African Christian theology in the first phase of it, especially after the council and after the first African synod called by John Paul II, Ecclesia in Africa, the second African synod or synod on Africa by Benedict Africhemulos. So those aspects of what marks the church in Africa today, enculturation, theologies of liberation, mm-hmm. womanist theology, the mm-hmm. Youth employment, and also, and perhaps most significantly, African Christian spirituality and the impact that Christianity from an African perspective is having vis-a-vis the global church. So yes. African Catholicism and global Catholicism, for example. So those are some of the aspects that the course covers.
Yes, and we could see that heading in the future as well as the church is growing and in so many ways a vital church there in Africa that it's going to have this impact globally as well. Now, Father Valentine, Why don't you talk about being a research fellow at the University of the Free State in South Africa? Your own research, what have you learned about Christianity in Africa? Maybe what has surprised you?
Okay. Being a research fellow in a secular university is very enriching. I remember when I was on the staff there full time, when we have meeting, and the same question is like, oh, Father, tell us your experience. And I said, I have benefited from the university much more than I have given. Why? Mm. Because my background is all Catholic. A young person growing up in a Catholic family, a Catholic church, like those they call Credo Catholic, I'm one of them. And then Catholic seminary, Catholic university in Rome. So everything has been surrounded. Then I had to come into a university with colleagues, in quote, where I was a minority, so to say, learning interdisciplinary methods, ecumenism and all that. And the first thing that surprised me, you know, when people, they mention church, my idea has always been the Catholic Church. And then I'm like, what church are you referring to? I always thought the church as Catholic Church. So it's been quite enriching, and also having to come to teach students who are not seminarians. It's a different thing,
yes,
like any other university. So going out with students, maybe take a drink, it's quite completely different. So it's been very enriching for me. And then what I have discovered personally is that the African church is less known, even among Africans. And I'm glad to my professor who redirected my research focus. I did my doctoral dissertation on Benedict the 15th and Maxim Eliud. I've been a missionary, so I'm more interested in missionary history. So when I came to the university, my prof redirected my research focus, and I'm happy. I think he was God sent. For instance, you mentioned somebody like Bernard Gantin. Many Africans don't even know that
right.
That was the first African bishop to work in the Vatican, and was also the dean of the College of Cardinals before he retired in 2002, and Ratzinger took over from him. There are many figures. You mentioned Maurice Otunga of Kenya, High Saint Theodore, Port Sungaron. People don't even, they're just, so
yes.
There's so much that we need to do ourselves as Africans. So that's one of the things that has surprised me. And also my recent research, we were discussing about it before, 50 years of Catholicism from 1974 till now, I discovered to my own surprise that in terms of social teaching, the African bishops came third in the world rating after Europe and Latin America. They are the third most prolific episcopal conference in the whole world. And these are the stories we don't tell. We don't even know. And then if you want to access the part of it, there's a second document I wanted to access. I wrote severally to the headquarters in Accra. Nobody responded to me. So how are we even going to make the African church known when we don't get the support that we need? So, but beyond that is enriching and surprising to me.
Father Wilfred, a lot of people don't know that in the summer we have students who are studying in Rome as interns here to learn about communications, and you mentioned being part of that here at EWTN. Talk about as well, maybe a little bit about that, but also about your book that you wrote about your experiences here in Birmingham.
Thank you once more. It's interesting, when I came over for my internship, Doc Kirk thought I was from Rome. It looks like I was the first who came from Cameroon. So from time to time, they will ask me how things are going on in Rome. So I had a very good time there. And it was during my stay in Birmingham that I was inspired to write my book, New Media and the Christian Family, Experiences from the United States of America and Africa. So I walk into a restaurant. Of course, I don't go to restaurants in Cameroon, and I see family at table. Each one is glued to their phones. So I'm asking myself this question. Why are they here? They come here as a family. It's time for them to interact. But they are all glued to their phone. So I started reflecting on this. And then during my pastoral visits to nursing homes, some of them were kind to share their stories with me, you know. And I reflected on how I grew up. We grew up in a family where we took care of our elders. I remember as a seminarian, I had turns to clean my grandmother's room. Mm. And so I started reflecting on these cultural differences. Also, looking at the exposure to media, I noticed that American kids are exposed to media at an early age, and there is also misuse and overuse of media. Yes. So I did this a thorough study of this, comparing the kids in Africa and their perceptions, their perception on marriage, on love, vis-a-vis the kids in America. And my studies were quite revealing. First of all, those who have television sets in their bedrooms, my study shows that they watch television like 15 times more than those who do not. So I was advising that it's not good to keep television sets in the bedrooms. Our children are exposed to TV sets, a lot of gadgets, and then people live together separately. It means they are under the same roof, but they spend the time texting. Instead of hugging each other at night before they go to bed, they send a text message, good night, when they are in the same home. So it's like living together separately. And then I also looked at how the American culture is affecting the African values of Africans who are here in America. Because of the nature of their work, they tend not to attend church anymore. They are not able to supervise their kids. And once you don't supervise your kids' use of the social media, there is a problem. Back in Africa, I mean, we eat together, we watch television in the living room together, we do things together, and our parents know what we're doing. So there was that great difference. So I'm trying to like explain to my audience, it is important for us Americans to learn some of the African values in terms of media use. Yes, we don't have the availability of internet, but there is a blessing and a curse in the availability of media. Absolutely. So I think that, so I was so happy that the Diocese of Birmingham, they used my studies also in one of the bishop's letters to talk about the use of social media and how we have to be responsible in using the social media.
Father Maurice, you've written an article about the beautiful experience of Catholicism. I think it was titled. Can you talk about the impact that the faith has had in a positive way in Africa as well?
Yeah, sure. To be a Christian, Mike, as you know, I teach the course Christianity in Africa here at Boston College. And one of the frequent questions I have is, why is the church growing in Africa? So students ask me that all the time. Why is the church growing in Africa? And it's a question that could be so broad, but I usually give a very pragmatic response to it, and that is because Africans find Christianity a liberating experience. You know, Africa is a continent that has had a challenging history, like with other parts of the world, on different scales. But in all, the African spirit is a resilient spirit. So through slavery and slave trade, through colonialism, through neo-colonialism, and every other aspects that have marked the continent at the macro level, Africans, when they meet Jesus Christ, when they meet the gospel message, it comes across as a source of great strength, a great liberation for them. So they don't see religion as an opium of the masses, as Marxism would have it. God is not dead, you know, as Nietzsche would have it, but it's very much alive. So I think that is really what attracts and accounts for the growth of Christianity in Africa, that Jesus is a liberator for many an African. And and that is seen in how Africans celebrate Christianity, in our liturgies, in the way we engage the liturgical seasons. So all of that shows a certain inner freedom and a certain life, vitality that we find by meeting Jesus Christ. Jesus is a great gift to the people of Africa. That is why they are becoming Christians.
Beautiful. Father Valentine, in your missionary work as a missionary of St. Paul, do you have any stories maybe of how it's affected people's lives for the good, individuals or as a family, people who have converted to the faith? Any of those stories that you remember?
Yes. I'm also the editor of our missionary magazine here in the United States. And there's the latest edition I published that it was quite touching to me. These were boys rescued from the street in South Sudan, Torit, where our priests are working. And then the priests who gathered them is called Father Newell. When these guys just disoriented, so we finished building a hostel for them. So I asked the brothers there, could you get the guys to write, share their stories, what it means like? And it's quite touching to me that one of them in particular said, before the fathers picked me up, I had nothing to eat. Before the fathers picked me up, I didn't have clothes to wear. But then he said, before the fathers picked me, I couldn't read and write. And now I can read and write. And that was quite touching to me, that here in the United States, part of my work is going around sourcing for fund to help. It's quite touching that the little effort you make is changing people's life you may never meet. And I just raised money now to build a school in Central African Republic. I have never been there. I don't know whether I will be there, but we have priests working there. We just finished the water project, and the priest sent me a voice message on WhatsApp and said, for the first time, we can take a bath in our rooms. And the community came to celebrate, because imagine Central Africa has been at war. So this, it's quite encouraging that the little effort we make is helping people, and the church is present in rural areas. Of course, there is the absence of government in many parts of sub-Saharan Africa, and only the church is there.
Beautiful.
And I'm happy the Missionary Society of St. Paul is part of this encouraging and transformative story.
Father Wilfred, you are the chaplain at the Newman Center there at Temple University in Philadelphia. How are you reaching out to the students there on campus?
Thank you once more. So Temple University has over 30,000 students, and we have a Newman Center here, sometimes 100 or more, they come over. It's a wonderful experience. First of all, we have an executive board made up of students of the Temple University. We have programs like Bible studies. We have social evenings on Thursdays. And sometimes we have an interfaith community in the university, and we are part of that interfaith community. So from time to time, when activities go on campus, we are allowed to be there to talk about the Newman Center, to talk about our faith. What is most striking here is that the students who come to the Newman Center, they are very devout. We have Eucharistic adoration like two or three times a week, and we also have spiritual direction. We have confession. This Easter, we received like four students into the church. So where we are right now, in a very central position on campus, I think we are witness to the Catholic faith. And we invite even non-Catholics to our social events. They have been very positive in their response. And I believe that the students at the Newman Center, they're a perfect witness to the faith. So far, I think it's been a wonderful experience. It's very engaging, and I like it. I like working with young people. I learn a lot from them. And they are also very open to my culture, so I'm able to teach them how we celebrate Mass, how we do things back at home, and they like it. From time to time during our social events, we can sing, we share stories, folklore, and life goes on so well with them. It's wonderful to be with them.
Father Maurice, if you could just give us a closing thought about Christianity in Africa and your hopes for the future.
I believe that Africa's time is now in terms of the global church. I believe Africa has come of age. Africa needs to make its voice heard to contribute to the new evangelization, to contribute to the church universal. We have received the faith. The faith is still calling everyone to daily conversion. But Africa needs to become much more active at the global level of Catholicism. Whether the Universal Church it's going to pay attention would largely depend on how Africa continues to witness to Jesus and to witness to the tradition. But Africa's time is now. Africa has a lot to offer the Universal Church. And that is a gift that Africa brings. We might not have gold or silver to give, but at least we have the faith once delivered to the saints. And so Africa has the responsibility to contribute to global Catholicism at all levels.
Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our program. We have so much more that we could talk about, and hopefully in some future programs we can do just that. But thank you so much, the three of you, for being on this program and sharing about the faith in Africa. And we'll see you here next week for another episode on the Catholic Sphere. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.